It is my great pleasure and honor to introduce Willie Velez this morning. This is his first time preaching. I'll tell you, we've been practicing over the last, well, studying for the last several months and practicing over the last couple of weeks. And I'm sure some of you may remember how horrible I was at the beginning. Willie is far better than I was at the beginning, and I am excited to continue to see how he's going to grow. As we looked at the book of 1 Thessalonians not too long ago, we saw that Paul was talking about how seeing the people that he had mentored and that he had invested in, seeing them growing in their faith was his glory and joy. And Willie is my glory and joy. It has been awesome to be seeing him growing, and I am so excited to be with you as he gets to preach his first sermon for the glory of Jesus.
Before I get started this morning, I definitely want to, thank Brother Dan, thank my family, thank everybody here at this church to help me grow in my faith and give me the opportunity to do something that was put on me probably many years ago. I was probably maybe 13 or 14 years old, and I professed that I wanted to be able to be speak the Lord's word and preach. So that being said, if you could please, we'll go to our Lord in prayer. If you're able to stand, I greatly appreciate it. If you're not, I understand it as well. But this time, we'll go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you put in front of me, put in front of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting it on our hearts that we're not to be selfish, not to just do for ourselves. Father, but that you want us to touch others, you want us to work with others, you want us to love others, you want us to talk about you to people, Father, who don't know you. Lord, as I was prepping for this study, I was telling Michelle and Dan, it's amazing how you work, Lord, in such a small period of time. I can imagine how much fuller it's going to be when I study every day, wholeheartedly, 100% just for you, Father. Lord, again, forgive me where I fail you, where I fall short, as I know I'm not perfect, Father, and neither none of us, Father, forgive us all whenever we fall short. And again, I want to take this time to thank you for all of our blessings that you give us daily, knowing that we don't deserve them, but you're a loving Father, unconditional Father, and you always provide for us, and you love us no matter what. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. And I'm sitting down there getting ready to talk, and Willie's like, "Whoa, what's that on your ear, Dad?" So that's a little bit of what's got me a little giggly right now, a little teary-eyed. But everybody who knows me knows how you try to be tough-skinned during tough situations or even just any situation at all. But it's pretty cool to have my little man say, "Oh, you're going to be like Brother Dan? Are you going to go up there and talk?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to go up there and talk for a little bit, son." As we were preparing for this lesson, but like Dan said, we did a few little rundowns, and the first time I went through what I had written down, I wasn't paying attention to Dan. I was just up here studying, going through this lesson, going through this, what I wrote down, what I jotted down, what God put on me in my heart and my mind to put on here and talk about. And when he said, "All right, we were done," I did the closing prayer and cut, and he was like, "Dude, you're up there for an hour." I'm like, wow, I couldn't believe it. I had fun. I was just going with it. Things were just coming from my heart. Things were coming off my tongue. And I said, "An hour? Are you serious?" He goes, "Yeah. You up there for an hour." He said, "It's great. I got no problem." I said, "Why didn't you stop me?" He said, "I'm not going to stop you. It's your first time doing this. Let you go through it." He said, "We're going to have to probably cut some songs short, though, Will. We've got to pull a song or two out because you're going to talk for an hour. People are going to be hungry. People are going to be leaving. It's only going to be you and me here probably." But... So as the weeks went on and I felt more comfortable about what I was writing, again, I wrote a lot, but key things stuck out to myself. Key things stuck out to what I wanted to make sure that I would be able to cover today. And the first question that I had, okay, what was I going to title the sermon, or what was I going to talk about? You know, a lot of pastors read through a verse or two and then break it down. And I'm still young in my, you know, studying habits, and I don't know the Bible that way. But Brother Dan had talked to me a while ago, like, hey, you know, what do you want to do? What do you feel God's talking to you about, or how do you feel you can help, or what do you think, you know, your energy is going to be? And I said, well, I don't know. I'm thinking about praising, thinking about worshiping, thinking about, you know, being excited for Jesus, you know, being excited for others to know him. So as I was going through these studies and reading, I had picked this a verse, reading different than what I'm going to finish off with today. But as I study more and more and more, the things I want to talk about are, you know, how we can experience the worship of Jesus with more depth and more richness. So that's what I'm going to be trying to cover today. I'm going to hit a few points. Some of them are being, you know, examples of what have been able to make myself experience Jesus with more depth and more richness, my family, my friends, and just maybe like a guideline, or maybe even a stepping stone if you're not sure on why you're not worshiping, or how you're not worshiping, or what to worship, or the ways that you should. Kind of like where I'm going to be going with this message today, and I think he's got it on there, so what I want to do is worship God. So that being said, I think the first thing that needs to happen if you want to experience more worship with depthness of richness is you got to pray about it. You got to be willing. You got to be wanting. You got to have a hunger, kind of a desire to do more, to not just be, I guess, settled or content with what you're doing. You know, praying about everything that you do, whether if it's as simple as going to work, simple as playing a game with your children, as simple as mentoring somebody. I'm sure prayer has a lot to do with that, and you got to make sure that you pray about it first. You know, I talked a few times about waking up in the morning and being thankful for the day. You know, wow, how many times you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, so being able to experience another day with my wife, with my family, with my employees, with my church members, that's a blessing there. So I want to make sure maybe you start off with saying thanks to God first thing in the morning before you do anything, before you eat, before you get dressed, before you wash up. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you for giving me this day the opportunity to do your job, to do your work. Thank you for using me. Ask for guidance. Maybe you're not sure on what your day is going to bring towards you, what your job may entail for the day, or a stranger that you may encounter. So ask for guidance, you know, at the same time. Father, again, thank you for the opportunity to wake up another day and breathe again. And Father, I ask that you give me guidance to go throughout my day. A couple other key times that are probably good times of prayer for your meals. A lot of times people take it for granted on things that they have, things that somebody's given to them, not really thinking that the Lord gave it to them first. The Lord gave somebody to give to them, put it on their heart to give it to you, to help that person out. They might be in need. They can't provide for themselves. They can't work because they're sick or they're ill. You know, so being giving thanks, glorifying his name, key things that you can do to help yourself experience more depth and more worship of Jesus. At nighttime, after your day is done, after your physical day is done, you're going to go to sleep. You know, tired. Oh, it's been a long day. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, I just want to go to bed. Another time again, you can fall on your knees and pray to the Lord, thanking him for the day, thanking you for giving you a job so you can sweat, giving you a job so you can have the aches and pains to provide for your family. These are all key moments. And again, it starts with prayer. You got to ask for it. You got to want it. And you got to be truthful and be humble about it. You know, pray about everything, and you're going to definitely experience more worshiping of Jesus with depth and richness. You know, for the Lord tells us in Mark 11:24, He says, therefore I tell you, ask in prayer, believe you have received it, and it'll be yours. You know, if you don't have a job, go to the Lord and ask for Him to provide a job for you. You're not having a relationship that you want with your loved one, with your family members. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him about it. Give it to Him. Let Him answer those prayers for you. Again, believe it. Believe that you received it and it'll be yours. You know, another bullet point I like to hit is that much prayer is needed for everything that you do, from the worship service, worshiping for the, praying for the leaders in preparation for the worship service. Father, give them the energy, the knowledge, the desire. Father, give the pastor the words that you want him to tell the others, Father. Lord, I pray that you be with the pastor this morning as he brings this message, and that I hear your word, not his word. You know, praying for the deacons. Pray that deacons would be willing to help, willing to contribute wherever needed. If it's helping the elderly, if it's picking up kids that their parents don't come to church, if it's preparing a meal. Sometimes we take those little things for granted, but somebody still has to be willing to do it and want to do it. And if we pray for that guidance from the Lord, you have the energy and the desire so you can experience the depth and worship of Jesus. I like to pray for the music. I love to sing. I love to dance. I love to hear instruments. I think I've got that down from my earthly father because he was a musician at heart. He loved to play the guitar. He loved to sing. He loved to play percussionist, and he always made sure that, all right, I'm going to play this guitar, you play this. Don't stop playing. So from a child, I've always loved music. And what better way, again, to experience more depth and richness but praising the Lord while you're doing it, being happy about it. Brother Bob said, singing loud, raising the roof. You know, don't be scared to sing. Don't be scared to praise Him. You should be happy in doing that. Feel a sense of accomplishment of, you know, praising your Lord and Savior, your Father. Kids do it all the time to their parents. Dad, thank you for this, thank you for that. Mom, thank you for this, thank you for that. I really appreciate the fact that you ever do that for me. It's kind of the same steps that we take as Christians, growing Christians, to worship our Father. Pray, ask Him for the guidance, give Him, you know, the honor when He does answer your prayers. You know, special things I like to pray when before we start is, Father, I pray that, you know, you be with this worship service this morning. Father, I pray that you bless this worship service this morning, that you make yourself known, you show yourself. If there's somebody here that doesn't know you, I pray that you tap them on the shoulder and say, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, come to me, ask me, and I'll give it to you. You know, if we were created to worship Him, that's our ultimate purpose, nothing else. Worship the Lord, be thankful in the Lord, delight in the Lord. You know, be thankful and enjoy whatever He's given you. If He's given you children to raise, be happy you got children to raise. If He's given you a job where you work so many hours and you have to come home sweaty, be happy you got a job to do that. Be thankful about it. Those are a couple different ways that you can experience death and riches, by being thankful and enjoying it, not taking it for granted. You know, a couple things happen whenever you do worship that way, when you're willing to worship, when you're open about it, when you're sincere about it, when you're true about it, when you're not, I guess, being a phony worshiper. You know, you're going to enjoy doing it. You're going to delight in His excellence. You're going to want to do it more. You know, Scripture says in Psalms 24:7, say one thing have I asked of the Lord, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. He enjoys whenever we do that. You're going to enjoy whenever you do that. Again, you're going to feel a sense of warmness, a fuzzy feeling. Like, again, if you were a child and you were hurt and your dad or your mom grabs you and hugs you, oh, I kissed the boo-boo for you. I'll take care of that for you. Knowing that the pain is still there. But the Lord's also there to help you with it. He's going to delight in us. He's happy to see us do that. Way back in Genesis 1:31, it says, and God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It wasn't okay. It wasn't all right. It wasn't mediocre. It wasn't cool. It was very good, everything. You know, we draw near to him, and we have the confidence that one day we'll be able to enter the kingdom of heaven through the blood that was shed for Jesus because of them, for us, for our sins. James 4:8 says, you know, God draws near to you. God draws near. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So again, if you're seeking him in everything you do, in your daily activities, your weekly activities, with your children, with your family, with your friends, the Lord will be there with you too to help you out. He'll get you through those tough times that you might think that you can't get through. He's going to minister to you. He's going to minister to us. He's going to build you up. He's going to strengthen your faith. Give you the strength, give you the energy, give you the desire to talk to people who may not know him, people who maybe deny him, say there is no such thing as a God. When you worship him truly, faithfully, in richness and in depth, you'll be able to talk to people who don't know him without being scared. It's going to intensify our awareness of his presence. You know he's with you. You won't be by yourself. I mean, when we worship him truly, even non-believers, you know, they'll be, whoa, what's going on here? Even non-believers will be encouraged and they'll be curious to know, to learn about what it is that the Lord has for them, the gift that he has for all. Because again, our God is not just for us to worship, for you to worship, for me to worship, it's for all of us to worship. Everybody to worship him. And we can. And if you do a few of those things there, you're going to experience the worship and depth of Jesus, you know, like you never have before. Grow stronger in your faith. Be able to touch others, be able to help others. You know, I got a question that says, why do we worship? That's the next question. Why is it that we have to worship? Well, we worship him, you know, probably this is the best one. We worship him so we can be strong, so we can be strong to help fight temptation, knowing that the devil and the world every day are going to put obstacles in front of you and try to get you from worshiping him. You know, that's probably when they do it, when the devil does it the most and when the world does it the most, when you're trying to do something good for him, when you're trying to lead a music class, when you're trying to pick kids up and bring them in, when you're trying to have a Bible study at your house, you're trying to invite somebody over for dinner. I think this again, when the devil says, okay, I got to get him. I can't. He doesn't even want you to open the Bible. He doesn't want you to sing loud. He doesn't want you to raise your hand. He doesn't want you to praise truly. So again, if you're worshiping him again, it's just going to build you up, make you stronger. That way you can do his work. You can do his will. We worship him because alone we can't do it. We can't do it by ourselves. It's plain and simple. You just can't do it by yourself. I thought for years that me going to work, working 40, 50 hours, providing for my family, not going out, not staying out late, not hanging out with the guys, that's what I was supposed to do. Brothers asked me, hey, are you think you're doing what God wants you to do? You think you're doing the right thing? I'm not lying. I'm not cheating. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm providing for my family. It's the number one thing that I should be doing, right? Well, in a sense. The number one thing I should have been doing was seeking God, seeking Jesus. You know, for Jesus is the light in all the darkness, and you know, he's the one that leads us. You might think that again, oh, I was able to work these 40, 50 hours straight, no problem. I was able to do this, I was able to go there, but you didn't do it. The Lord was there, the one to help you do that stuff. He was the one that made you, gave you the capability, gave you the energy, gave you the desire to provide for your family or to be able to do the right things. No, it ain't the devil, because the devil wants you to do the wrong things, you know that. We worship him because we know, as Scripture says, through him all things are possible. The toughest times that you may have, man, nobody wants to help me. Nobody wants to do this. I've got to do this, do that. With him, everything is possible. You know, a short story, if I may. My brother said he doesn't remember when he was able to come to church in shorts. It's funny because, you know, my mom and dad were devoted Catholics, and we had to go to church every Saturday and every Sunday, and we had to go to catechism. And, you know, my father ended up getting sick when I was about in the fourth grade, 8, 9 years old. And the doctor said he wasn't going to live long. He got 6 months to live. He had a real bad disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. And they said, you're going to see this guy go from what he always did, working, to slowly deteriorating. And you guys are going to have to be there for him. You have to be strong, because he's not going to be able to feed himself, not going to be able to bathe himself, not be able to dress himself. And it was kind of hard at 9 years old hearing this, but, you know, again, my dad was a devoted Catholic, and we went to church all the time. And the neighborhood that we lived in, you know, there were always people out going door to door trying to soul win, trying to win people to Christ. And my dad would always tell them, nope, you know, leave me alone, sign on the door, Catholic home, don't knock on my door. For whatever reason, you know, it's one Saturday when it got more towards maybe a year and a half before my father had passed, and we couldn't go to church anymore because he felt that it was a burden for us as a young family to get him up and dress him and walk across town, push him in the wheelchair. One morning he came out the door, and I thought, oh, for sure my dad was going to flip out and say, I told you, get out of here. But no, for whatever reason, you know, Jesus must have put it on his heart, today's the day that you might want to hear something from me. And he let them guys in, a couple young guys, probably mid-20s. Here's my dad, 44, 45 years old. He's probably thinking, what can you guys tell me? And just to be able to sit there in the living room and see what was going on and being able to experience my father accept Christ as, you know, as his Savior and profess it with his tongue. Wow, you know, it felt good as a 9-year-old to see that happening and knowing one day that I'd obviously want to do that as well, because again, it was my dad, it was my father. He was leader of the household. I wanted to do whatever he did. He provided for us. He worked long hours. Even to the time when he was walking with the cane, he was still trying to go to work and provide for us. You know, so that was a good role model, that I thought, you know, coming up with my dad, seeing him, again, work, provide. And he was the same way. He probably thought that he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was providing for his family, didn't bother anybody for anything. But God put it on his heart that he needed to let them guys in and let him show him in the Bible what he was really here for. You know, fast forward a few years later, and, you know, meet Michelle, and we're going to school, and I liked her, she liked me, she was with somebody, I was with somebody, and whatever, didn't work out at the time, but later on, I broke up with the person I was with, she broke up with the person she was with. Whoa, what a coincidence, you know? It didn't take long before I, you know, knew that this is the lady that I wanted to marry, the person that God would put in my life to share the rest of my life for me to raise a family with. And we were going around looking for churches, some in Hobart, some in Chicago, some in Hessville, and all the while living 2 doors down, literally, from this church here. 2 doors down. Didn't feel like those other churches that we were going to, we were being welcomed. We didn't see the worship in, you know, great depth and richness at those churches. They were bigger churches. We never thought that this small church here, or this small denomination, you know, the many people that were here were going to be with something that we wanted to be involved in. But we came to church one day, and again, we just felt loved. We felt welcome. No questions. No looking at you funny. You know, if you need anything, give us a call. You know, from the Downies to the Halfbakers to the Morrises, they were all, you know, essential role models, essential people that God put in our lives at the times to us to mirror ourselves off. These are what good Christians look like. This is what good Christians do. And I was still working. We got married here, and I came for about a year and a half faithfully myself, and then I fell into my ways and would work, and I got a promotion at work, and I had to work longer. Went from 35 hours to 45 hours, 45 hours to 50 hours. And I got more responsibilities at work as a leader of my family to be a manager at a different location. I was driving 2 hours one way to work. 2 hours to work, work 12 hours, 2 hours back. Really isn't too much time there to do anything with outside of work, you know. If you look at it with 16 hours of work and travel, Michelle would still faithfully come on Wednesday, study nights, come on Saturdays, come on Sundays, be involved in the activities that we had. I mean, probably the first four times the church went Christmas caroling, I didn't partake in it because I'm tired. It's my day off. I'm at work. When I get off work, I wanted to be left alone. You can go to church. You can go learn. You can go sing. Leave me alone. That's the attitude that I had at the time. Never failed. Every time they came home, making more and more noise, super happy, jumping around, just full. Man, what's going on? I thought I was living a life. I'm at home relaxing. I ain't got to care the word. You guys are coming back home from church with all this energy, all enthused. Dad, look at this. Dad, look at that. Look at this picture. Look what I did. Look what I did. Michelle, look what we learned today. We talked about this. Okay, I understand. And I know she was praying for me, you know, praying diligently. Please, Father, you know, Lord, you know, want to worship as a family, not just myself and my kids. I know he's doing good for providing for us and not going out and staying out all night, not doing anything wrong, but how much better, how much more of a stronger experience would we experience as a family if my husband came to church with us too and went to learn. And I know she spent countless nights praying about it, you know, countless praying over meals. You know, being able to worship with my family consistently, with my sisters, with my brothers, with my sister-in-laws, with my cousins that I invite, you know, that there are just great opportunities. And, you know, that gave me a sense of accomplishment knowing that I'm trying to worship and showing others about Jesus' love too for us. You know, I know it's helped help Michelle in her faith, you know. Again, me being able to be there with her and go through studies helped her experience a lot of depth and richness. And again, it's just a few examples on what we as individuals can do, what can happen when you do it, when you're willing to do it, what will happen. Because God's at work in all of us. He's in all our hearts. You know, God came down. You know, we weren't able to do it by ourselves. I said again earlier. He came down from the perfect situation he had in heaven. No sickness. No sweat. No tiring. No hungering. He came down to die for us. Because we were going to go to hell. We were going to perish. We wouldn't have the opportunity to do that. And God wants us all to be able to go to heaven. Wants us all to be there on his side and enjoy it. All the blessings that he has for us. Jesus said, I'll do it, Dad. I'll go down there and I'll walk a perfect life. I'll walk a sinless life for you. I won't sin. I'll proclaim your name. I'll preach it every day. I'll tell everybody about you. And he did just that. We still turn our back on him when we need us the most. Put him up on the cross for us. He took our place there. Dan always says that they say, excruciating is the word? Excruciates the pain, you know, that he went through for us. All because he didn't want to see us perish. You know, he wanted us to be able to have the liberty of being there with him and God in one day. Whether if it's our time that we spend here and we pass, or if it's the rapture when we all go at one time. He wants us all to be there with him. You know, so again, you know, it's definitely things that happen daily, things that happen to us hourly, for whatever reason, there's opportunities for you to worship the Lord at home, at work, at play. And the more you do it, the more willing you want to do it, the more open you are to doing it, you'll experience some depth and richness in Jesus. Again, I want to make sure that, you know, I thank Michelle, I thank everybody, you know, here who prayed diligently, you know, and have shown, you know, brought, look at what this is what it says here, look at what this is what it says here, this is what you should be doing, this is how you should do it, this is how you should approach this situation, this is how you should approach this person about that. Because those are all ways, again, for myself to learn, to educate myself, to build my strength, to build my confidence, to be a better Christian, to be a better leader. And that's what I want to do. I want to be a better leader for everybody, not just for myself, for my kids, but for my family as well and for my neighbors. You know, so if you're looking for ways to, again, experience, you know, depth and richness, you first got to want it, you first got to ask for it, and you'll get it. Got one more verse I want to leave you guys with, and it's a little bit about what we've already talked about a little bit. It's 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to women as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of the life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Imagine that. You going to work, you're doing everything you think you should be doing. But if you're not living an honest life, an honoring life to your wife, to your children, how can you expect for the Lord to hear your prayers and answer them? You know, so if you're living in sin, specific sin or sin at all, which we're all sinners and we sin every day, take it to the Lord and turn away from that sin. Father, give me the strength not to live in this sin. Father, give me the strength not to want to do this. Help me be a better leader. Help me be a better Christian. Help me be a better brother, a better father, a better teacher of your word. And you'll definitely be able to experience the Lord with more depth and more richness. And go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be up here on your behalf. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for all the workers. Lord, again, I ask special prayer, Father, that you make yourself known, that you will show your presence, Father, to somebody who doesn't know you. Father, if there's somebody here who doesn't have a church, doesn't want to go to church, or just isn't sure about themselves, Lord, I pray that you would put hands on them. You put it in their hearts that we can pray for them. We will pray for them. We'll show them what it is you'd like for them to see, Lord. Again, Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us, knowing that we don't deserve any of them. Thank you for your unconditional love. Father, I would pray that you would give us all the energy, all the want, all the desire, Father, to again experience worshiping you in more depth and more richness. Because again, I know that's our ultimate goal, Father, is to worship you and only you. In your Son Jesus' name, amen.